Oh, I am, but I'm walking.
Tom, what has this week been like for you?
It's been a normal game plan week with the addition of doing a little more, but, you know, we watch film as a staff together and try to break them down just the same. So, you know, as a coach, you try not to get too high or too low. It's always just getting your guys in position to play as hard as they can and then try to help them out when you can.
You went from position coach straight to interim head coach. You didn't really have the defensive coordinator label. That's what a lot of coaches aspire to as they go up the ladder. Have you been looking forward to Sunday, that moment, for quite a while throughout your coaching career?
No. You know, as a coach and a former player, you learn to take it a day at a time, not too high, not too low, because you start looking forward to things, you're going to miss the things that you're doing at the present time.
Did you have to do anything to get the guys to buy into what you're teaching them, or are you just automatically assuming they're going to, you know, follow your lead?
Well, I think they can follow your lead a little bit. You know, we had good defensive statistics before. We just have to close out and finish ball games. So you try to tweak things that you can tweak and keep the base together and keep your core together and help who you can when you can. And there are times where they're going to have to make plays, and there are times where we're going to have to make calls to help them make plays. So that's really all I tried to do.
The booth or the sideline, did you make a decision yet, and why?
We hadn't made it yet, no.
Under Juan, this team has blown a lot of fourth quarter leads. Why, under your guidance, will the defense be different in closing out games?
You know, hopefully the results are different, number one. You can't say whether something second-guessed as a coach, any coach, position coach or otherwise. You're going to second-guess yourself if it doesn't work. If you blitz, you're going to say you shouldn't have blitzed. If you played zone, you should have said you played man. We just have to have a better understanding and a better urgency to finish games, and we got to make sure we have, coaching-wise, that ability to make the calls to win a game. Then they have to go out and execute it. So,
players said this week is that you've kind of stressed being unpredictable on defense. In your opinion, like, how important is that, you know, as far as, you know, being a good defense, to be unpredictable?
You know, it was more or less, in your bye week, you get to self-scout a lot, and you get to see a lot of things that you're doing wrong and right, you know, and you try to fix the things you're doing wrong. I don't think it was more or less of us being unpredictable. It's just more or less of us correcting the things that we need to correct that people are taking advantage of.
Coach, you talked about that sense of urgency to finish games. How do you get that out of players? That maybe if they didn't have that before, or if they were maybe lacking a certain area, how do you bring that out of players?
You know, that's a tough answer. Some are born with it. Some you have to practice it hard. Some you have to get it out of. No different than coaching. We got to get it out of ourselves, and then we got to get it out of the players. So you preach it and coach it and teach it, and you beat them till they're blue in the face. And, you know, hopefully Sunday the results will be different.
Pass rush has got to be kind of a priority here.
I think you know, it's been said a couple of weeks now, they're rushing the passer very well. You know, they're rushing the passer very well. There are times where there's max protection. There are times where the ball comes out. But it all ties in. You know, you can say you want to get the guys rushing better and doing things more, but if they're running it down our throat, it'll be hard. So you got to kind of go off what you see off film and kind of pick your spots and time it out and see how it works.
Hitting the court.
Players suggested, someone yesterday, that defense was kind of vanilla, kind of predictable. What do you do with the same players to not make it as predictable?
Well, as every defense is going to have a base where they're going to be predictable, no matter what team you're on or what coach you have. Everybody's going to have a scheme. Our scheme is the wide nine. You know that going in. You know, you play as hard as you can, and you keep your base core, and game plan-wise, you try to adjust and tweak some things as you see fit, if that fits the game plan. If it doesn't, you know, but you always come back to your core. So it's not as much as being predictable. It's just trying to get your playmakers in better position to make more plays. I don't think that's unpredictable or predictable. It's just as far as getting to see what your guys can do best and letting them do it.
Much been made about the pass rush and about the seven-man protection and the three-step drops and so forth. What realistically can you do when teams are planning that way against you guys? Do you just have to take advantage of the numbers, like on the other side, with the coverage?
You know, it's not a new thing. I don't think you can go through any ball game to see where they're not seven-man protecting or quick-stepping, three-stepping, and everything else. It all ties in. We have to time it out right. We have to get them in position to rush the passer, and we have to do all those things. It's not like it's just the Philadelphia Eagles they're picking on. You know, it's the seven-step, the five-step, the three-step. It's been around for a long time. The game doesn't change. You know, when you get good pass rushers, you tend to chip them a little more. We just have to schematically figure out ways to see what's best ways to rush the passer for us going forward.
I heard Mike Smith say in an interview that one of the tough things in preparing for the Eagles this week is the fact that he knows what they do schematically, but he doesn't really have a tendency chart for what Todd Bowles will call. Do you think that's an advantage this week?
No, I don't think so. Mike's been around football for a long time, you know. I certainly didn't invent the game, and I'm not going to reinvent the game. So they have their core beliefs that they do, and they got a great quarterback and a great core receivers and running back. You know, they're 6-0 and undefeated. So you just got to try to make sure you do diligence to get your team ready to play hard and try to hopefully make the right calls at the right time.
Was Grandpa State the last time you called the game?
Yes.
So what goes into all
the game, as opposed to in position? Well, as a position coach, you just study the back end. You know, if you're playing man-to-man, you're not really worried about the run fits as far as much, and you're not concentrating as much on trap plays and draw plays and that whole thing. And as linebackers, you do certain things in D-line as well. As a coordinator, you got to make it all tie in together. You got to make sure you're helping somebody at a certain point in time without exposing the others. So it's not just helping Namdi or helping Trent or helping D'Amico. It's a matter of tying it all in together as a coordinator, and you have to do diligence to make sure you do your homework and get that done.
Are you spending more time with the front seven because you don't know them as well, or are you spending more time with D-backs because that's your area of expertise?
I actually know the front seven very well. You know, we've been together for couple months now in camp and everything, and like we've always met in the same room together, and each coach goes up there individually and gives their presentation. So it's not a matter of not knowing them well enough, it's just a matter of overseeing more than just the secondary.
Last year you guys had 50 sacks, led the NFL. This year you're basically at the bottom. You have the same players for the most part up front. What in your opinion is the difference in that being so different there?
Well, I think when you have 50 sacks and you lead the league, the next year people are going to come in and the first thing they're going to say is, we got to block the pass rusher. So obviously there's going to be more importance tended to the defensive line because of last year's 50 sacks. So we just have to creatively find ways to keep things, and it's a guessing game each week with them and us. It's going to be cat and mouse, how to get them free, how they're going to block them up, how to pressure. Sometimes it's coverage, sometimes it's blitz, you know. We just have to make sure we do diligence to do our homework.
You know, the Giants do it. They try to get all of their best pass rushers on the field at the same time in certain, you know, third down formations or second and longs. Do you feel like you can do that with this team, that kind of add a wrinkle there where you're getting more guys on the field? Because you guys have always rotated, but now you can maybe get more guys on the field at the same time?
No, I think schematically that works for them. You know, that's how they got to be where they are. They have some good defensive linemen up front. We feel like we have the same. So within the rotation with Coach Washburn, I think we can get the right guys in there.
A lot of players now say that, you know, one of the big things was the predictability, as you've been talking about before. But how much do you have to fight against players feeling like, all right, shifting the blame to that instead of taking kind of personal accountability for, you know, for their shortcomings and making sure that the excuse making doesn't turn into a lack of performance on Sunday?
You know, I don't think it's excuse making on my part. I think predictability comes from self-scouting. I think every coach in the league, when they self-scout on the bye week, sees a lot of predictable things that are glaring to them that they try to fix. And I think the miscommunication was in that part. It's definitely not an excuse. The guys play hard, and we lost because we lost, and we didn't make enough plays to win the game. It's not because we're being predictable or unpredictable.
Todd, you said you're not going to reinvent the game, but do you see some areas where you can add your own wrinkles, your own creative touch, so to speak, to this defense?
As a coordinator, you always try to do that, but you have to make sure it's within the scheme of what we do as opposed to just going out and grab bagging things and coming in and doing something that we're not comfortable doing.
Have you decided yet whether you're going to be on the sideline or up in the box?
No, we're going to discuss that tomorrow.
What goes into that?
the pros and cons of and how you weigh
whether it matters which position coaches are down, which area of expertise needs to be down on the field, and who has the best eyes in the box and who can see certain things. So it kind of ties all in that way.
Todd, one of the players who hasn't gotten on the field yet is Andy Curry. Can you speak to how far he's developed and where he needs to improve to be able to make an impact on defense?
You know, Benny's been working hard, and he's been practicing hard. D-line with the defensive ends especially, it's a tough rotation. You know, it's tough breaking in no matter who you are. But I think Benny's chances have come, and I think he has a bright future ahead of him, and I think you'll be seeing him in the future.
How are most teams playing Julio Jones and Roddy White in terms of how they – is it one guy on them? Are they staying on sides? How are most teams doing?
Whatever it is, it's not working. Those two guys, probably arguably the best two in the league, size-wise, speed-wise, and what they have that a lot of big guys don't have, they can run patterns as well as blocks. So you got to pick your spots. I mean, it's only one football, luckily, and you're forgetting Gonzalez is in that mix as well as, you know, Michael Turner. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, you know. It's going to be a tough matchup. It's a challenge for us.
Is there a chance Vinny could be up this week?
There's always a chance. We got to see how injuries take out and how it plays into the game plan, but we'll see as it goes.
Are you surprised that Roddy White has been more of the deep threat in the offense instead of Julio Jones at this point?
No, I think they use both of them equally as well.
What week been like for you? How has it been different?
Again, it's been busier from the schematic standpoint, as overseeing the whole thing as opposed to just the defensive backs. But when we game plan, everyone has input and everyone has their say-so, and then you just have to finalize it at the end. So after all the meetings are over, you have to go back and second-guess yourself and look at yourself to make sure, okay, this is right here. Is it right here? Do we want to do this? Do we want to do that? And you got to kind of through film and practice and coaching input and everything else, you got to try to come up with a plan.
Test is this going to be for not just your players, but for you the next few weeks here? I mean, you have two really good quarterbacks coming up.
I don't think it's a big test for me. I think it's more or less getting the players ready to play and play hard. It's always their game. I'm just trying to aid just like the rest of the coaches and help them get better.
Okay.
Yep.